Well, thanks again to Nathan for his ministry and song this evening. I want to read this evening from the Old Testament in the prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, and reading from verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that know not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. We pray the Lord will bless again the public reading of Holy Scriptures this evening. It's a great chapter. I'm maybe only going to concentrate on verses 1 through to 7, but it's one of those chapters you just want to read on. This morning, Morris reminisced about his BB days. I thought maybe this evening I would reminisce and tell you something that of my school days. Particularly one thing I want you to notice. When I travelled to school, my last years in school, Lurgan College, I was travelling from Lower Lock Road to Upper Lock Road, so I hadn't really that long to go, or that far to go. And I travelled by different means of transport, and or on foot. I often came home. I often walked home. Maybe didn't walk there so much, but walked home. But I used to get lifts with neighbours. I even got a lift on a tractor and slurry tanker many a time. And often got the bus in the morning and went to the bus stop in the morning. But from the bus stop, I also got lifted by a bread van. So I had different ways of getting to school. If the bread van came first, I went on the bread van, or else the bus. The man whose bread van it was, he called it a cart, the bread cart. He referred to it as the bread cart. As well as delivering bread, he delivered to some of his customers, he delivered a copy of the of the Christian Herald. And I used to keep the Christian Herald tucked down on the dash and on the window screen, between the dash and the window screen, in the front of his van. And you could see the title through the windscreen, Christian Herald. And one morning he lifted me and he passed me a copy of the magazine, opened at a particular place, and he says, "Take a read at that. Take a read at that." It was the letters to the editor page. And there was one from Northern Ireland. The name, I can't remember. It didn't mean anything to us anyway. But it was a letter, a reader from Northern Ireland. And he sent in a letter. He said how that he had been at a funeral recently. And attending the funeral, well, it caused him to consider and think about the brevity of life. The brevity of life. You know, the old hymn used to, great old hymn, the gospel, starts with the words, "Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf." One autumn day, I was working in the garden. It was very quiet. It was a still day, very still day. And I could hear a sound, an unusual sound. I could actually hear a sound. I walked round to the front of the house to catch on that this rustle sound was the sound of falling leaves. And I thought about the old hymn, "Like the falling of a leaf." I couldn't help but notice, you know, that a lot of the leaves, they just fell quietly. Nobody noticed, just quietly fell to the ground. And isn't it so that we read of folks, it says, maybe it says in hospital or at home, peacefully, the falling leaf. And then some leaves fall, maybe suddenly and quickly, and we might say unexpectedly or tragically, or we might say, you know, we might say prematurely. Some leaves fall early. But this particular day I noticed the sound was that leaves were falling. And as they were falling from the upper branches, they were clipping and hitting and knocking off the lower branches. And that's what was causing the sound, the falling leaf. And I thought to myself, you know, for some it's like that too, isn't it? Some people in latter years, maybe months, weeks, take a few knocks in and out of hospital, treatment and all the rest of it, until the leaf finally falls. So it's a very good description, very apt. Life at best is very brief. They don't fall together, but we all eventually fall. It'd be not a bad place to start a gospel meeting for us all to recognize that life at best is very brief, just like the falling of a leaf. And this man, he said as he attended this funeral, he thought about the brevity of life. As the funeral was making its way down the road or street, it was meeting oncoming traffic. And he says he noticed in the oncoming traffic a bread van. And then he looked at the bread van and he started to think to himself, it reminded him and caused him to consider the bread of life. And he started, that started to go through his mind, the bread of life. Maybe he was thinking of John 6, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Maybe he was thinking, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, the bread of life." He says, as he got up on the van and as the traffic met, he says the man in the bread van switched off the engine. And he sat very straight and motionless in the bread van, looking straight ahead. And the man thought, you know, this man is being very respectful, and he's acknowledging that a funeral is taking place. And then he said when he passed the van, he noticed the Christian Herald in the through the windscreen. And he said, I then concluded this man was a Christian. And I have been thinking of the brevity of life, and then the bread of life. He says, I started then to think of the better life. And this man was a believer, and he had the better life. Then I turned to Sammy and I said, it could only be one man. And we laughed at that, that he got a mention in the Christian Herald. The better life. I couldn't help but think, you know, when we turn to Isaiah 55, we're reading about a better life. And Isaiah 55 is a gracious invitation. God's calling out, saying there's a better life. There's a better way. It begins with the word ho. This word, the commentators tell me, is like a shout or a gathering of a means of gathering attention, trying to arrest people's interest and attention, trying to stop people and cause them to just listen for a moment. Ho. Sometimes it's translated woe. But depending on the context, it is now ho. In eastern lands, those that would sell water, they don't have surplus water like we have. It would be a scarce commodity that is sold, and they would have shouted ho, water for sale. And God is shouting tonight, ho. He's remonstrating with these people. Something he wants them to hear. Something that he wants them to consider. You see, this chapter is written to Israel in a backslidden condition. A nation that had turned to idolatry and turned their backs on God. These people are not what they should be. These people are not where they ought to be. Taking the wrong turns. Maybe listening to the wrong voices. Maybe have made wrong choices. Have gone in the wrong direction. They're discontent. They're dissatisfied. They're disaffected. They've turned to idolatry. God says, ho. I wonder tonight where you stand and how is it with you? Whether you're a believer or non-believer. We wonder, are you where you ought to be? Maybe you're a backslider tonight in a backslidden condition. You're not where you should be. God says, who? Unbeliever is unsaved tonight. God says, stop. I want you to listen. Something you need to hear. There's a lot of mention of hearing in the early verses of this chapter. These people are far from God. Maybe tonight you're far from God. These people are a people who are thirsty. Maybe you're thirsty this evening. I wonder this evening, are you dissatisfied with the world? In the 60s, Rolling Stones can't get no satisfaction. They're old men tonight and they're still singing that. They still haven't found it. because they've searched in their own places. So it is with these people. 80s, or is it 90s? Another group used to sing, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Over and over again, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And they're probably still singing it this evening. Well, it's probably a bigger hit, as big a hit today as it was when it was first released. Because it's so true, you know. In a world, people are searching, seeking for something to satisfy, and they don't seem to be able to find it because they're looking in the wrong places. People seek satisfaction tonight in possessions, silver and gold, riches untold, houses or lands, and or cars or boats or whatever it might be, possessions. If they had that, well, then they would be satisfied. It doesn't work like that. And then, of course, we live in a world of so many pursuits. People live for so many things. People strive with hobbies and sports and the pleasures of this world. Wine, women, and song, and one fix after another, one high leads to another, then another. I used to work to live, but there are people who live to work. They're so taken up with career. People strive for various pursuits in life. People aim to accumulate this world's goods and possessions, and yet they're still not satisfied. Then other people seek position, elevated positions in society and things like that. And we see so much in our day of people who are looking at 15 minutes of fame. People seek this world's fame, or worldwide fame, and men's applause. Pastor Dennis used to say that he was given a piece of advice as a young pastor: be careful of gold, girls, and glory. And that's the same thing, really. Possessions, pursuits, position, being glory, get taken up with yourself, get carried away with yourself. And people strive for all of these things, seeking satisfaction, and they can't find it. The search goes on. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher there, he searches the world. The terminology from the book is everything under the sun. There's nothing, anything under the sun that'll satisfy. Nothing can satisfy the longing of the soul, or the void, the aching void of the soul. It's all, he concludes, it's all vanity of vanities and vexation of spirit. The treasures, the wisdom and the pleasures of this world can't do it. And in a life like that, in a world like that, God shouts to these people tonight, and he calls again this evening in the gospel. And he says, "Ho." You see, in Isaiah 55, we have an offer of a better life. We see in this chapter the better life. God has a message tonight. It's a gracious invitation. It's a message of the gospel. Some say this book could be called the gospel according to Isaiah, the evangelical prophet. So in Isaiah we read about the wells of salvation. I think we have the word salvation 17 or 18 times in the prophecy of Isaiah. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else." That's in Isaiah, saved and salvation in this great prophecy. God says, "Everyone that thirsteth." Oh, just hold on a moment. A message to everyone that thirsteth. If you don't recognize your need, you'll not be interested in God's salvation. If you don't realize your need or learn your need, well, you're not going to seek after the things of God. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." Remember the woman in John's Gospel, chapter 4, came to Jacob's well. She met the Lord who was there. He said, "Give me to drink." Remember the conversation that followed, that flowed, as the Savior directed her to this chat about living water. Think of the words that he said to her, very apt in light of what we have been already saying. He said, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." I think it was F.B. Meyer who said you could take those words and put them over the front door of every public house and every casino and every nightclub and any amusement that the world has to offer. You could put it over the door. "Whosoever drinketh of this water will thirst again." But he went on to say, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give shall be a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." And so this invitation, this call, goes out to see this evening to those that are thirsty. It goes out to those that have no money. You see, they have no money because it's all spent. It has all been wasted. It has all been spent in seeking those things that would satisfy, but they don't. Reminds me of Luke 15, the story of the prodigal. It says he wasted his substance with riotous living. Then it says he spent all, and when he had spent all, he began to be in want. The glamour and the bright lights and the neon signs and all the rest of, and the society and companions of the far country had all gone, and it was all empty, and he spent all and began to be in want. And he was hungry, and it says he fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. He found out this world to be a very friendless place. And the call goes out tonight to those that are hungry. You've been seeking and searching in the world for something you're not going to find. The better life is not there. The call also goes out to those that are in poverty. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread?" And it goes out to those that are weary. "You labor for that which satisfieth not." Life without God is no life at all. Life without God is miserable. And God is calling out to these people, "Ho, everyone." I wonder, are you in this group this evening? I wonder, do you recognize the emptiness of this world? Thirsting and hungering and weary and seeking after those things that always just seem to be out of reach and that you think will satisfy, it just doesn't seem to be there. The offer that God makes is a gracious invitation. Some great words of the gospel in this Old Testament passage. Everyone, it's to whosoever will, no matter who you are this evening, this is a message for you. Gospel messages for the whosoever will. Whosoever will may come. Another great word of the gospel is prevalent in this verse and in these verses, and it is the word "come." Right from the beginning of our Bibles, God reaches out to men. He says, "Come." Yes, the God that we have sinned against, the God who we who we're walking for, taking us this broad road that's taking us further and further away from. Yet he still says, come this evening. The gracious invitation that we have in this great chapter. Come. O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money, without price. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. This chapter tells us there's the opportunity of a better life. There's lovely language in this chapter. It talks about buying wine and milk without money and without price. Without money and without price. Come to the waters of life, wells of salvation. Speaking about a saved soul. There's an opportunity tonight, friend, for to know something, for to be the possessor of God's salvation. Brother Tom get us in the prayer meeting tonight. He talked about so great salvation. He talked about eternal salvation. He talked about free salvation. I thought he must have been reading Isaiah 55 because it's all there. So great salvation. Eternal salvation. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. It's without money and without price. It's free salvation. There wouldn't be an Isaiah 55 if we didn't have Isaiah 53. Despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And I shall make his soul an offering for sin. Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes were healed. And there's one who has made salvation possible. There's one who has paid the price of this so great salvation, the only begotten Son of God. Yes, we can preach tonight and send out the invitation, the gospel invitation. Salvation available. The opportunity is here and now. And it's without money and without price. But let's remember, as the old hymn puts it, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. There's salvation this evening in this chapter. There's satisfaction in this chapter. Verse 2 says, eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. It comes down to this. It's all about the soul. A lot of this terminology is spiritual. And it's all to do with the soul. I trust you value your soul tonight. You have a soul that needs to be saved. There's the opportunity tonight of salvation and satisfaction and security. Incline your ear. God says, incline your ear. Come unto me. If the word come is prevalent, another great word in this passage is the word hear, or hearken, or incline your ear. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. everlasting covenant. That's the gospel too, you know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Or what about the great verse of John 5 and 24? He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Oh, there's everlasting life. There's eternal security. All because of one who died and was buried and who was raised again. Acts 13, Paul says that in Pisidian Antioch, he says, but he raised them up from the dead. And because of him, he gives us the sure mercies of David. Eternal security, eternal salvation. Yes, a saved soul, a satisfied life, and an eternal security. It's all in this great chapter tonight. That's the gospel. You still out of Christ tonight? You still on the broad road? You still striving and seeking after those things that don't satisfy your need this evening? Is the need of God so great salvation? There's an onus attaching to this invitation. There's an onus attaching to this invitation. You see, verses 1 and 3, it's all about what God has done. There's water in abundance. It speaks of refreshment. There's wine. It's an emblem of enjoyment, according to Psalm 104. There's milk. It would remind us of nourishment. It's all there. Come, God says, buy and eat without money, without price. It's salvation vast, full, and free. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Then when you come down to verses 6 and 7, you're inclined to think that that's a restatement of what we had in verses 1 to 3. The well-known verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he's near. He might not always be near, you know. If you're here this evening unsaved and you feel God is near, I tell you, you think carefully. He might not always be near. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah chapter 1 we could have read where it says, he says, come now. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as red. The time to come is now. And seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. But the difference, I think, in verses 6 and 7 in comparison to 1 and 3 is this. There's the onus on man, and there's the onus this evening on the one who hears the invitation. There's something that they have to do. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and return unto the Lord. Verses 8 and 9 goes on to talk about my thoughts not being your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. And in order to come to God, in verse 7, you are to forsake your own way. And you're to forsake all your own thoughts and ideas. You're to come God's way. You see, Cain in Genesis 4, he thought he would come his own way. He had his own way and his own thoughts. It didn't do. It'll not do. But Abel came, and he forsook his own way and his own ideas. And Abel came just by faith and believing God. Abel just said, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow? All for sin cannot atone. Thou must save, thou alone. That's the way Abel came. That's the way you need to come tonight. You're not saved. You're going to come to God as nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. That's the way you come. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and return unto God, and return unto God God's way. Do you notice what it says? And he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. We've been singing this evening, mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. And that's the way to come to God tonight, friend. It's called repentance. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him. To our God, he will abundantly pardon. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, yet he opened not his mouth. There's one who's died in your stead tonight, friend. There's one who gave himself to make this so great salvation possible tonight, friend. My grandfather, whom I didn't really know because in latter years of life he had Alzheimer's, dementia, didn't call it that then. Every now and again, out of the blue, he sang a line or two of a hymn. And my grandmother's face lit up. So pleased. But it was only fleeting. And it was gone. She would have encouraged him to sing, but it was gone. I used to wonder what it was. It was a hymn about gold. And one night I discovered that hymn. And I couldn't help but think about it as I read Isaiah 55. Because he too obviously was a man who knew the truth of Isaiah 55. And who knew all about Christ. Only Christ can satisfy. Because that hymn, it went something like this. Not all the gold of all the world and all its wealth combined could bring relief or comfort yield to one distracted mind. 'Tis only to the precious blood of Christ the soul can fly. There only can the sinner find a full and vast supply. For what can equal joy divine, or what can sweeter be than knowing that the soul is safe for all eternity? Safe in the Lord without a doubt, by virtue of the blood. For nothing can destroy the life that's hid with Christ in God. O joyful news, O happy news, the precious, precious blood of Christ can bring the sinner nigh and give him peace with God. And the invitation goes out tonight. Gracious invitation, O everyone that thirsteth. Come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Trust ye be wise and seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him for salvation while he is yet near. Our closing hymn is